Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, the message is one that I have mulled over, that I've experienced in my life and experienced this day. I always find it difficult to preach things that I have not experienced or am experiencing. It's just, you know, it's tough to share in depth and in detail sometimes without experiencing it yourself. Not that you can't. I always said, you know, I don't have to know how to make a pizza to tell you whether the pizza's good. You know, it's about flavor. Although I've been making a lot of pizzas lately. Not a lot, but like homemade dough. I made a stuffed crust pizza yesterday. Ooh. Homemade stuffed crust pizza. Wasn't too bad. It was pretty good. Good, you know, first time, you know. Anyway, not relevant to the message at all. But this morning, I just want to preface that with, you know, I never share from this platform, from this place on a pedestal. That's not how I live. That's not who I am. But I share it because, I feel like that's what the Lord put on my heart. I'm going to share it. So this morning, there's an attitude that I want us to go into the message with as well. I talked about the attitude to go into worship with. Same thing going into the message. And this is, something that we need to have more often, because there's a really popular thing, and I don't know why, but lately all of a sudden it's began to annoy me, and maybe it's because I'm drawing closer to the Lord and becoming more like him. I'd hope that's what it is. But there's this really big fad, and some of you might not experience it. Some of you might. But either way, the message still applies, and this attitude still applies. But there's this really popular thing, and when you sit with Christians and you have these discussions, and then even when you just talk to one person and you just kind of, the phrasing, and I've used it before, and it's not a wrong phrase, but we talk about the church, and we just kind of mean, you know, in general. We talk about Christians in general. And we hear that a lot in sermons. We hear that a lot in our conversations. When we want to discuss certain beliefs, theology, things that church does, things that Christians do, things that, you know, we talk about this. But the attitude this morning, when we go into the message, the attitude that I think we should have and always have is not the church, Christians. We should have the attitude be you, me. It should be individual. It should not be general. It should be specific. Because I think there's too much generalization. Now, the reason why most times we speak in generalities is because to be specific over every single situation would be time-consuming, and in order to talk up here on stage, I can't really go over every single situation in detail and all these different things. But when you hear a message, the filter that we go through sometimes is, oh, that's good for the church. That's good for the Christians. No, is it good for you, and where does it apply to your life? Where does it apply to you? Because all have sinned and fallen short. That's all of us. Yes, that is a general consensus. We are all sinners. We could be saved by grace. That's a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing. But sometimes in order to avoid responsibility, it's nice when it's a group. It's nice when you talk to the whole group. It's like getting in trouble with your parents when people are around. Some of you parents are still crazy enough to do what you do in private. Well, fair enough, you know, but some parents, it's a little softer. I'm going to bring this up when there's a group of people and my dad is, you know, at least 25 feet away. Now I'm old enough to where I could be a little bit closer. But I can outrun him a little bit better now. But still, if he can get a hold of me, it's over. I don't think that's going to change ever. I probably won't even get too close to his grave someday. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was morbid. But let's be honest. That's just what I thought. So, but really, it's specific to us, and we feel safer in a crowd. and we come to church and we hear a message and it's for the crowd. But I want us this morning to look at the specific responsibility. I want us to look at specific faith. I want us to look at specific conviction. I want us to look at our life. Lay yourself out on the table. Detailed look. That's how we're supposed to go through Scripture. That's how we're supposed to approach listening to a message. That's how we're supposed to do this. It's not in generalities. It's supposed to be looking at me. Too often, we can easily counsel and advise somebody else, but we never apply that same thing to our life. We look at the wisdom and we share it with people and we can read it in Scripture, and don't worry, there will be Scripture in the message today. We look at Scripture and we can apply it to somebody else's life, but then we continue to walk in the way we're walking and avoiding the same exact advice that would help us. And then we continue to talk about other people's situations, and it might not even be in a heart of gossip. It might be in a heart to help somebody. But guess what? You're still wrong. Because your soul is more important than the ministry. God cares more about your soul, whether you go to heaven or hell, cares more about your growth than what you might be serving at church. Now, he cares about you sharing the gospel and witnessing to people, and you don't have to reach a level of perfection before you can do that. That's not what I'm saying. But while I continue on and I just speak in generalities and I listen to the message and think, wow, that was good for the church, what about you specifically? Look in the mirror. That's what we have to do. Because, let's see. Maybe I should throw that in there now. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You got to stop thinking you're an exception to the rule. That because my situation, what I went through, I'm an exception to the rule. Yes, your situation is oh so awful. I'm sure nobody within a 20-foot radius has ever been through something just as awful. And I'm sorry, that sounds really harsh, but I'm being honest with us this morning, myself included. And I'm not belittling your circumstances. But God calls us to something. And it's throughout all of Scripture, and it's not just this passage. This could apply to any passage. I'm just using this one specifically. There are countless passages, and they apply to all different circumstances and all different situations. But for some reason, we don't stand on those promises, or we lose faith in those promises, or we don't abide by that, or we don't read that, or we exclude that because of my situation. And I think I'm an exception to the rule, when in reality, the rule was for you to accept. And it was for you specifically. Not just the rule was for the church in general. I'm tired of speaking generalities, because then people continue to walk by thinking that they're an exception. No, I'm speaking specifically to you this morning, each individual. The rules are for us. And I'm not talking about the rules of sin, law, and so on. good and evil actions to do. I'm talking about the things that God has called us to do. Those things apply to this, yes, because that's what it's talking about. If we walk in the Spirit, the desires of the flesh are, we can overcome. But if I walk in the flesh, then the things of the Spirit are difficult. The two cannot exist together. Light and dark are separate. Sweet. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Here's the thing. When we read that, we think about all the tangible, the aesthetics, the money, the cars, the fame, the this and this and this and this. But you know what else it applies to? It applies to that whole mindset of everything's supposed to be great. And now it's not great. It applies to that. Don't love the things of this world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the love of the Father, I'll let you know, is the key to everything. Not the key to everything in this world, but it is the key to everything that you need. That I need. It is the key to contentment. It is the key to seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in every dark situation. It is the key to getting through the valley. It is the key. But all we, when we take the love of the world, we're going to be stuck in the valley. The valley's never going to end because we're only going to be looking at the valley. But when we look at the love of God, and that is my focus. And my fight is to keep faith. My fight isn't just to keep my marriage. My fight isn't just to keep my job. The fight isn't just to raise my kids. But my fight is to keep the faith. All these things will be added unto you. You want to know the secret to a good marriage? Start pursuing God. As a couple and as an individual. And like I said, I don't have to know how to make pizza to know what a good pizza is. So just because I'm just completing year four of marriage doesn't mean I don't know what I'm talking about. You've been married a lot longer than me. Great. I'm not saying I have it all figured out. But I know I can read the instruction manual. And I need to apply it to my life. And if you remember the last time I preached and I talked about romance and the schedule and all that stuff, you'll have to go back and listen to it if you didn't, but started to figure a few things out. When you read the instruction manual and you don't think it's a generality, but you look at it specifically and start applying it to your life, what do you know? Fruit grows. It's amazing. You plant the seed, you water it, and you didn't get scammed by the salesman and he sold you nothing but corn seeds. Reference, anyway, never mind. Some people will get it. But fruit will grow. And so when we're focused on the love of the world, it's this whole thing like joy. Joy can be yours. Joy comes from the Lord. Well, then why am I not happy? Because you look at suffering with hardship when it tells us to count all suffering as joy. The joy is there for us to use. I quoted this on Wednesday. The difference between an ordeal and an adventure is your attitude. And oh, these are great, wonderful quips and awesome, great, but you don't know what I'm going through. You are not the exception. I'm sorry. Scripture tells me there's nothing new under the sun. What you're going through might be tough. It might be hard. What you're going through might be justified for you to be angry for a million years. But that is not what Scripture says we are to do. You're not meant to be bitter and angry because of your situation. You can get tired. You can get frustrated. You can have these things. It's all right there. And I've had this conversation with myself. Actually, I've had this conversation more with my dad.
Dad, life, this is just what's going on. I just don't know what's going on. I can't handle this. Walk up to me and act like a Christian. I'm just kidding. He doesn't really get that harsh. But seriously, we want to do that. That's what we want to do. Forget the stage. Sorry, cameraman. This is what we want to do. And I'm sorry. It's never meant to be easy. It's never meant to be easy. It's simple, but not easy. You ever have a simple task and then it takes... Actually, I should look at Caleb. Because you work on vehicles and you cut down trees and you do all these things. And it's like, that should be simple. But then we're here for 8 hours. It's simple, but it's not easy. And it's not meant to, think about it like this. The happiness and the ooh and the ah and the everything. That's your flesh responding. Do you really want to do things that make your flesh feel good? Because I don't think Scripture says to do that. Remember, it's the renewal of our mind, and that's what I'm doing this morning. If something's blowing your mind or it's making you mad, it's because your flesh has control over your mind. And your mind needs to be renewed. And it needs to start taking on the biblical perspective. It doesn't mean your situation doesn't suck. Forgive my language. But you know what? It means your outlook does. It means your attitude does. It means you're storing up your treasure not in heaven. The one piece. Sorry. The love of the world, the love of the things in it. In biblical times, it's gold, silver, and gems and things like that, right? In our day and age, it looks a little different. But it says that wisdom is worth more than that. So you can have all the money, you can have all the cars, you can have all the fame, but if you ain't got wisdom, you're poor. And wisdom comes from a lot of trials, a lot of refining, a lot of hammering, a lot of pressure, a lot of everything. And we want to whine. And we want to snivel. And act like a Christian. I love you, and I'm talking to myself. I had to have this conversation over the last 3 weeks with me. There are certain things around the house, and I want to do, or I want to do it like this. And, well, guess what? I'm not the only person in my house. I'm whispering as if my wife won't hear me, but I'm sure she is. There's a microphone, and there's a live stream. She probably is hearing me if she's not already in here. But, and then it's like, that's not the way that I would do that. That's not what I want to do right now. That's not what I, Brock, knock it off and act like a Christian. Love your wife. Submit to your wife. Wait a second. Husbands, submit to your wives. Yeah. Wonder why they're not good at submitting? It's because you're not. Ha ha. You want to know why your kids act up? It's because you act up. Reap what you sow. It's the oldest thing in the book. It's so old that another religion stole it, renamed it, and called it karma. Reap what you sow. How I directly interact with him is often how they're going to interact with me. Whining and sniveling. God, why aren't you just... Hey, kid, quit whining. Well, I don't know if God spoke to you like that. I guess maybe this morning through me he might be, but maybe you're reaping what you sowed. I don't know, but so blame yourself, not me, on the preaching. Anyway, but the love of the world... For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, I can't say it quite like Brad Pitt, but is not from the Father, but is from the world. And I'm telling you, everything the world gives us will return null and void. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you bitter. It'll leave you in the mess. And it will perpetuate the mess. Sin perpetuates on and on. The gift is there of grace and mercy. And we're like, nice, great, awesome. I'm a Christian. But then I'm going to sit here and I'm going to keep perpetuating the hurt, the pain, the sin, the repercussions of our sin. We continually just keep it going, because we don't finally just act like an adult. We don't renew our thinking and our mind. We continue to love the world and try to utilize this, and we're wondering why the two won't go together. Light and dark don't go together. If you walk in the Spirit, the things of the flesh, you can overcome them. If you walk in the flesh, the Spirit, well, you know, it's not going to work out so great. So you wonder why. Where's everything at? What's going on? Why isn't this working? I don't know. What's going on? Check up on yourself. Quit speaking in generalities. Look at yourself. Pull up the x-ray, the MRI. Put yourself on the surgical table, whatever it's called, and just break it down for yourself. Quit thinking this would be a great message for this person. No, for you. For you. Where are you at? Where is it in your life? Quit thinking about the situation, the relationship, married people. We fall into this all the time. That'd be a great message for my husband. That'd be a great message for my boyfriend. That'd be a great message for my girlfriend. That'd be a great message for so-and-so. You're here for a reason, and it's here for you. And if, you know what, you want somebody, this message today, you hear it, and you're like, that'd be great for so-and-so. I mean, part of me is like, yeah, send them the video, because, you know, get the views up. No, but, you know, the best way to get them to is start living it so that they see it in you. Scripture's clear. If a spouse is unsaved, the best way to get them saved is by you acting Christ-like. And you don't give up hope. And you don't whine and snivel. No. Disclaimer, there is a time where you can talk to somebody and you can share the burden. There's a time where you need some encouragement and you got to talk to somebody. I'm not sitting here saying, bottle it up, choke it down, never share it. I think we all agree that's been outdated now for a little while. But also, that time in third grade where you got picked last for kickball, I don't really think you need to unpack that. No offense, but who cares? You're an adult now. Let it go. I'm serious. There's certain things that we hang on to and we hold and we're just carrying it around. How about you carry around the gospel? How about you carry around a Christ-like attitude? How about you carry around a gracious heart, a loving heart? How about you carry around forgiveness for everybody, 77 times 7 or whatever the billion numbers are, whatever it is? Would you just carry that around instead of your excuse, instead of your justification on why you're allowed to be a bitter old I'm trying so hard to keep it decent this month. Clean. Okay. Loose cannon, but maybe not that much, all right? You know, we might be okay this morning. But, no, I'm trying so hard to keep it, you know, somewhat nice, cordial, something. But if we continue this pattern, the church is just going to keep going. But guess what? I'm not here so the church stops doing this. I'm here so you stop doing this. I'm not here for the church at large. I'm here for you. You're here for a reason. God's got you in that seat, and it's time you start taking a hold of something. We get really confused with the fact that we're supposed to humble ourselves and put our trust and faith in God.
We get that confused with we're also supposed to enact and take over the authority he's given us. That means grabbing the wheel. There's a balance. And sometimes we just hands off forever and, oh my word, we'll see where this takes us. Whoa, we capsized. God, it's your fault. And he's like, I gave you a steering wheel. And I gave you the instructions. And I gave you a church that preached the gospel. I gave you a friend that encouraged you. I gave you somebody who was there. I gave you. Walk in the authority he gave us. Walk in the Spirit. It didn't say take a nap in the Spirit. It didn't say just sit in the Spirit. It didn't say just, you know, sit there and be a blub in the Spirit. It said walk in the Spirit. And when you're walking, you're moving. It's your faith in action. And if all you have is faith and you have no action, then you're dead already. There is eternal life at the point of salvation. There is life after salvation. The way we live and the way that we act. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded, two masters, light and dark, serving two masters. We're serving, loving the world and loving the Lord. Trying to, anyway. And we're looking at how we're the exception to this rule. It says, cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. Clean. You've heard that phrase. I'm going to wash my hands of it. I'm going to be done. It's not just talking about wash your hands and repentance and salvation. Yes, absolutely. But wash your hands and be done with it. All right? So, some of you know, I'm an absolute glutton for punishment. That seems out of context, but I promise it'll come around. I'm testing out this philosophy, okay, that, you know, if you're going to have chaos in your life, might as well just have it all at once, right? I mean, I got one kid, I got two goats, I got one dog, and I got another kid due in a few weeks, okay? October 10th is the due date. We'll see, you know, whatever. Due dates, I'm learning, mean nothing, right? But, you know, you have this idea. So I just have this, I had this thing, just this thing happened where I, out of control, out of body experience, where I showed up at home with a puppy. Thank you. At least somebody's, you know, encouraging. A St. Bernard puppy. And I just, you know, like I said, the philosophy of, you know, if life's going to get chaotic, why not just all at once? You'll survive or you don't, but you'll figure it out. I mean, there's no other options. And, you know, St. Bernard, he's 3.5 months old, but he's pretty big. Already, you know, he's kind of the size of like a full-grown lame dog. But I love big dogs. It's just, yeah, grew up with St. Bernard. Anyway, this is going to get really immature for a minute, okay? This dog has to use the restroom, but obviously he's a dog, so we take him outside. And he's a puppy, and I see him go to the bathroom, and I'm like, my yard is going to be a minefield. Oh my goodness. And then he turns around and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, no, no. Get away from it. Don't. What are you doing, you sicko? Some of you will understand, some of you won't. It's okay. If you don't get it, it's fine. When I quote the scripture verse, even though it's a little bit different, you return to your sin like a dog returns their vomit. So scripture tells us. And I'm looking at this dog and I'm like, what are you doing? You're disgusting. I'm not hugging you for at least 5 minutes. getting you your own toothbrush after that. That's disgusting. Anyway, some of you are like, you didn't already have one? No, I'm... Never mind. That was going to be rude. Like a dog returns to their vomit. You ever seen that? Dog eat their vomit? Gross. Anyway, cleanse your hands. Not just cleanse them to be clean, but cleanse them and be done. Don't return to your vomit. Don't return to your sin. It's disgusting. That image that went through your mind when I brought that up, it was gross, and you were revolted, and you started writing an email. Well, pause. Make it addressed to trash@gmail.com. Anyway, so it was disgusting. Well, take that same emotion and feeling and image in your mind, and now think about you returning to your sin. Take that same emotion and feeling and that thought and think about yourself returning to your love for the world. This is the renewal of our mind. Cleanse my hands of it. We're done. We submit ourselves. Interesting, that came up again. Submitting ourselves to God. How that works, how that shows up in our life. Submitting myself. I have multiple of me. No. Submitting ourselves, myself, to God. Sometimes it feels like it. You laughed a little too hard, so you relate. But it really hit me out of nowhere. But submission. Submission, you know, people have a problem with it because it just feels like you're weak. Feels like you're weak. You're powerless. You're just underneath authority and they're lording over you and, well, they have all the power and it just feels awful, okay? Now imagine you're doing jiu-jitsu. Submission has a totally different meaning. It means your lights are out. If you don't know what jiu-jitsu is, it's a form of martial arts where you get choked out. Okay, so now imagine that. I'm not saying imagine get choked out, but I'm thinking about it in that context, okay? In this context where you're being restricted, constricted, we don't like that. Don't like that. Any claustrophobic people don't like that. Jiu-jitsu is probably not for you. You don't like that. Well, our flesh doesn't either. And we are to beat it and make it our slave, and we are to constrict it and restrict it, and we are to make it submit to the Spirit and to God. And it means I give up rights. Rights. It means I give up things. I'm justified. And it means when I start looking at Scripture and I see all those commands, when I see all of those things that the Lord tells me that I'm supposed to uphold and do and follow, I'm to submit to those things. Not just submit under the authority, but also submit my flesh. Choke it out. Take captive every thought. Because this doesn't just apply to, you know, joy and suffering. I've heard some Christians, they have really, you know, I've talked with people and they have these really great thoughts and they have a message for the people at large. So they want to start a YouTube channel or write a blog or write a book and all these things. And that's not a bad thing. That's good, you know. But I've talked to some of them that their whole perspective is about suffering. And it's meant to be, and it's a good day, and it da 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 da. And they uphold this thing that Scripture is clear about. But Scripture is also clear about being a joyful giver and being kind to people and loving people. And they completely forget about that part. So it goes both ways. There's no part of this where it's, oh, well, I'm going to be a specialist in this one area. No. We can have focuses and things that get put on our heart, and we want to share a message, and we want to do this, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm telling you is this. We cannot leave out any part of what God has called us to do, who God has called us to be. If we do that, well, then when we go to make disciples, we're going to have a lot of people who don't understand the fullness of the gospel, and there's going to be a lot of Christians that end up walking away because they're bound to run across a point that they were not taught about, and they have no idea what's going on, and then they blame God, and they blame people, and they got hurt by you, and so then they're done. But if we all take the time to look at and spend time in and look at everything that he's called us to be, and it's not that we have to have all this memorized before we can disciple somebody or share the gospel or this or that. No, but it's understanding that there is no part of this that I will leave out. Every time I hear a message, I'm going to look at myself. And when I submit to God, you know what that means? It means I'm going to love my brother and sister, and not just my related siblings. My brother and sister in Christ. There's probably somebody in this room that you're not very fond of. I said we're going to be specific this morning, so don't stand up and call them out. This is not a speak now or forever hold your peace, okay? It's not what we're doing. But there might be somebody here that you're not super fond of. Dare I say hate? I don't know. That's a strong word. We say it all the time about things and don't realize the impact it has with our words. But, you know. But I want you to know something. The more that you struggle with that, and the more that you don't forgive, and the more that you don't move past that, and the more that you don't submit to God, and the more that you don't make your flesh submit to the Spirit, and the more that you let that linger and perpetuate the sin and the damage and the hurt, it's your own actions. It's not theirs. Somebody hurt you. Somebody did something that offended you. Something that, ooh, it hurt me and all this stuff. Well, guess what? God says forgive. And the longer you don't forgive, guess who's hurting who now? You're hurting yourself. Period. You are not an exception to that rule. Well, you don't know the situation. I don't care. To be honest, I don't need to know. You want to share it? Want to talk about it? Absolutely. But guess what? The only thing that changes about that sentence is, I understand, I'm really sorry that happened, but still, forgive. Period. Scripture's clear. And like I said, I could go through every situation that comes across our lives and share with you how Scripture's clear, so I kind of have to be general this morning. But submitting to God, his rule, his reign, in a specific manner, me, my life. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. It's right there in front of us. And you have no excuse to not deal with it. Not to look in the mirror and understand, I have to deal with this. And dealing with it isn't running to that person and tell them how they need to fix their life. I kind of already said it earlier, but the top two ways to get a person to change, prayer and you living different. So this message this morning, I hope, gets you thinking. I hope the message this morning gets all of us thinking and looking at ourselves specifically. I hope the conversation over lunch or on the car ride isn't, what'd you think of this morning's message? Well, I think it really was great because it reminded me of this person and this thing. What a waste. What a waste of me getting up here. If that's what you're doing, you're wasting this whole thing. You're wasting the opportunity. Worst thing in the world is wasted talent. That's what my dad would always tell me when I was growing up. Talking about sports and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But But I'll tell you what, when I look at Scripture and I look at what it says and I look at these things and I understand to whom much is given, much is required. Another biblical principle that was stolen and put into a popular movie called Spider-Man. Anyway, to whom much is given, much is required. You've been given an opportunity. And I'm not just talking about how great it is that you have me as a pastor. No, that's not what I'm saying. We don't even need to talk about me, okay? In that essence. You've been given an opportunity by having this at your fingertips all the time. And countless messages, countless churches. That's why a popular thing of church shopping is now a thing. Figuring out what church suits me best. Well, I mean, kind of, sort of, but also not the point. And what a waste it is when we just look at this in generalities. And we don't look at this and start applying it specifically to my life. Show up to the hospital, broken bone, sticking out my arm. Sorry, gross, but, oh, here's ibuprofen. Okay. Walk into the next room. Oh, you got a cold? Here's ibuprofen. Okay, next room. That's just in general. No, specifics. Be specific. Look at the need in your life. Look at where you're struggling. Look at where you're hurting. Look at where you're arrogant. Look at where you're prideful. Look at where you're lost. Look at where you're questioning. Look at where it's off limits. Look where it hurts the most. Where when you look in the mirror, you're crying. Look at that. Be specific. Address the need. Don't just snivel and grovel about it. Complain, whine. I'll be wrapping up with this because when we do that, when we look at that, we complain and we whine and we do this, I've seen it more and more these days, and it makes me absolutely sick. I've been seeing people who once went to church, no longer go to church, or go to church somewhere else, or whatever. I'm not just talking about our specific church. I'm just talking in general. Anyway, and you see, all of a sudden they're making their post about how the church sucks. You realize if you're saying the church was bad, then you were part of the church, so you're calling yourself bad. That's one thing that's weird to me. Two is, what did I expect walking into a room full of people who have a common cold and they're sneezing on me? Do I think I just walk out unscathed? No, you come to a church full of sinners. What did you expect, them not to be sinners? The church is not a place of perfect people. It's a place of broken people seeking healing, and they're honest about it. And guess what? It means we might bump into one another and get a little, yikes. But that's why the Scripture's clear on how to handle conflict. And it's not run and whine about it, run and make a Facebook post, leave the church forever, and then make my comment about how the church is so awful so that people comment and make me feel good about my decision. Gag me with a spoon. That's not what it's about. That's the whole sniveling, growling. Act like a Christian. What we're supposed to do. So don't get caught whining, complaining, and sniveling and groveling. Focus in and submit on the Lord and what He's given you, what He's doing, what He's called you to do. Don't get lost. And don't get lost without thinking you're lost. That's the worst. A lot of Christians fall into that. Don't do it.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.